So, I mean, I was asking before the break, when you started to feel better, I mean, was it an immediate feeling for you, or was it something that when you look back on respectively, you realised that you were getting better? And then I suppose leading on to, with the actual process of writing the book, was that a therapeutic journey for you as well?
Yes, I think just rewinding a little bit, we talked about the fact that the therapist, when I said this has happened, that has happened, he said, so what? Making me think, oh, okay, so what? Maybe I should be more positive about things. Maybe I shouldn't dwell on this. So that was a pivotal moment, if you like, when I just suddenly realised I didn't have to let this define me. But thinking that and feeling that are two separate things. So I wanted to re-engage with life, but it's a slow process to be able to do that. And like I said, grief isn't a linear thing. You do think you're making progress, and then suddenly you're thrust back by a song or a scent or something. People who've been bereaved, well, who hasn't, for goodness sake, but you know, people out there will know what I'm talking about, I think, by this. So not a linear process. I kind of likened it to the reverse of labour. When you're in labour, the pains get closer and closer together and stronger and stronger. I felt that with bereavement, the pains got further and further apart and slightly weaker. Although, you know, it doesn't matter how long it is, you can still be in that moment in an instant. So I think it was a slow process. It still is a slow process. It will always be with me. There is no recovery as such. But writing the novel, as you know, I wrote for a living, but when you're writing nonfiction, it's very different. This is expressing what you want to express through your own voice rather than being the voice of the publication you're writing for. And yes, absolutely a cathartic experience, because I lost myself in these characters. As I said, the characters unravelled a story for me almost. They took on a life of their own, because as they developed, the things I'd intended them to do were suddenly out of character, so the plot have to go off in a different on a different tangent, and it weaves in and out, and I let it take me where I wanted to. But expressing emotions, thoughts, feelings through other characters was an incredibly cathartic experience, and I think that goes for anything creative. Being able to re-engage with some creative art, something creative, is extremely good, I think, when you've been in a dark place, when you are in a dark place. Things like art therapy, I think they're just the most amazing kind of things. And for me, writing is my equivalent of art therapy.
And will this carry on? Is there another book in the pipeline?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there are two more in the pipeline at the moment, which is kind of confusing because I need one to take over, but I'm actually working on two. One set in Paris with completely separate characters from the Thinking Tank. But the other, actually, which I think will be number three, is going to revisit the characters in the Thinking Tank and take them on a bit more of a journey and into Dubai. They had to, didn't they? They started life here in my head. They had to come back in reality, in their reality.
Very good. And also in the Thinking Tank, in the first novel, one of your characters, you're talking there about, for you, a defining moment, or for you, that process you went through. As you said, you don't fully recover, but you are able to move on in some way. And the character in the book also has a pivotal moment. Describe that moment to the character in the book.
Yes, Sarah, who is Rebecca's mother in the Thinking Tank, she goes on a journey. Essentially, there is a lot in her past that she has pushed under the carpet, like we were saying, that she's even tuned out of her awareness, and there are things that she needs to investigate, and her journey to do that takes her to Spain, and she goes to Spain with an old friend of hers that she reconnects with, and she has been in a very, very dark place, and this friend, Stephen his name is, encourages her to re-engage in life, and they go together to a little village called Mijas Pueblo, White Village in Spain. And he almost makes her take a donkey ride. I know that sounds really simplistic, but as she's walking down through the cobbled stones, as she's riding down, I should say, on the donkey, she smells the donkey's scent. She feels the feel of his coat beneath her fingers. She feels the sun on her skin. She hears the hubbub of what's going on around her. And she realises that there is a life out there. And she tries to write to Rebecca. She tries to email her. And she starts her email, "Dear Rebecca, today I rode a donkey." And then she goes off in a tangent in her mind. And she just feels she can't write down what she needs to write down. And it's this "today I rode a donkey" moment. It's her pivotal moment when she re-engages with life.
She's emerging again. She's being able to feel something again.
Yes.
Really, really very powerful, that idea, I think. Jay, there's a text message here from Sue saying, "As a mother losing a child, it's like losing a part of oneself. A hole will exist forever that can never be filled. My children bring me such joy that I can't imagine life without them." The journey that you are on, I mean, it continues.
Yes, absolutely.
Advice to people, or anything that you would want to give to the listeners today, that going through what you've gone through gives you hope and keeps you going.
Yeah. I think it's very difficult to give advice to people as such. All I can do is talk from my own experience, and also sort of recount some of the helpful things that happened to me. One very helpful thing quite early on, somebody said to me, "There is no one right way to grieve." Somebody said, "Don't take too much notice of these various stages of grief." And I have to say, the one stage I've never felt, which you're supposed to feel, is anger. And that's curious, because I should feel angry, and I almost feel bad that I've never felt this anger stage. But with me, it was kind of an almost acceptance that this was her time, that for some reason she had to go when she went. So maybe it will hit me in, you know, the future. I just don't know. So I think that not expecting it to be anything specific is quite helpful. Not expecting to feel certain things at certain times in a certain pattern is a helpful thing. Allowing it to unfold as it unfolds. And if you can possibly let people into your life, talking to people does actually help. I locked myself away. Maybe that was part of the process that I personally had to go through, and that may well be the part of process that other people have to go through. I'm not sure that, you know, that's a particularly helpful, good part of the process, though, because once I did start re-engaging with people, I found that other people had a lot to offer. And, you know, not wanting to go to a therapist, for example, maybe I would have been able to come off medication a little sooner if I'd done that. But these things, they're impossible to predict. It's impossible.
It's the crappy stuff, isn't it?
It's the life's crappy stuff.
It's life's crappy stuff, which is Jay's blog. And if people want to get in touch with you or to find out more about you, your website and your blog, Jay.
Yes, absolutely. My blog is indeed called Life's Crappy Stuff, for obvious reasons. My website is www. And I'll spell it, JAEDEWYLDE.com. In fact, there is an email address on there, and I'm always pleased to interact with people if you have any questions. I suppose the one thing I would also want to say here is that if I were going to offer any advice, it is cherish the years that you have had with your child. Feel blessed for those years that you had. Remember the really good memories. I put together lots of photo albums. People sent me messages about what Rowena meant to them. All that really hurt. That was a kind of practical thing that I could do. And, you know, cherish the children you have.
Cherish those people you love, for sure. So for now, Jay de Wilde, thank you so very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne.
And thank you, Richard. And you'll be back with me next week, next
Monday.
Next Monday,
as always.
And thank you for all your messages today. Have a great day.